Welcome to the Spiritual Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Pinkley. Let's begin. Episode 72, The Highest Form of Listening. Now, it's in some ways, I'm surprised. I can't believe I didn't do this episode before because it was very, very popular on my TikTok. I definitely got a couple hundred thousand views, at least. It went viral to a certain extent. Insane number of comments. And there's a lot to say about this topic and this highest, very specific form of unconditional listening. And that is a good way to put it, unconditional listening. So the highest form of listening or unconditional listening is when you are able to hold space for somebody. That's sort of what we refer that to, right? Is we refer that as the art of holding space. So holding space is when you are able to listen to somebody's story, whatever's going on with them, right? You've made the conscious agreement that you're going to listen. You're not just, it's not a casual conversation, but it can happen within the parameters of a casual conversation as well. But in essence, you've agreed to hear this person's story. You've agreed to listen to what they have to say. And you're listening, you're so non-reactive, right? There's not a cell in your body. It doesn't matter what they say. Not a single fiber of your being is in reaction to anything that they say. And what this facilitates, what can happen, is that a person can transform from the mere act of your listening. In fact, you can heal somebody from listening at this level. And part of the reason that is so is because when you're able to hold space, people will often or sometimes tell you things that they've never told another living soul before ever in their entire life. If you can hold space like this, wow. I mean, what you can do for a person is amazing, right? At the level of coaching that I do, it's essential. It's an essential skill, or I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I wouldn't be able to hear the things that people tell me, which range from mild all the way to, you know, really deep and dark things that they've either have happened to them or that they've, you know, somehow perpetuated or in whatever capacity. Right. So, you know, I would say that, you know, at the very least, anybody who's a coach or a therapist has to start to master this skill, but it can take an entire lifetime to really master it. And the reason is, generally speaking, in order to really be able to hold space, you have to have had a certain amount of life experience, and not just learning, but just experiencing life. Which is different than learning something, some sort of a skill. Apologize, I'm outside here by my fountain, and there's a lot of noise. Anyway, there's a certain amount of irony that there's more background noise in this particular episode. Anyway, and now the wind's kicking up. So, not just life experience, but hardships, trials and tribulations. And, you know, you could say that's kind of unfair in a way, because how is somebody, you know, what am I saying that anybody who hasn't had a hard life or had rugged life lessons is precluded from the ability to hold space? Not necessarily. I'm just saying that you are, exponentially more likely to be able to hold space if you have survived at least a certain number of real life challenges and situations. And, you know, it has definitely been my experience that the absolute best listeners are people who have been through, you know, some of life's hardest ordeals. As it burns out a lot of the unconscious reactivity out of you, right? And you're able to embody their experience. Now, there's a certain amount of caveats here. Caveat number one is that a lot of people, you know, and I get this from my TikTok because, you know, there was at least, I don't know, there were a couple hundred comments on that video, maybe more. It might have been 300, I forget. And there are a lot of people that talk about people that they have a natural ability that a total stranger will just come up and start, you know, telling them their life story. And whereas, sure, I do believe that some people are born with this natural gift and ability. Generally speaking, it's also true that these folks need to have boundaries, because you don't want to just let any Tom, Dick, or Harry run up on you and emotionally dump all over you, right? Because you're going to start, if it's not an agreed, it's not a conscious agreement for you to hold space and for them to tell you your story, then you could just be taking on their emotional density. You're just letting them dump all their stuff on you, right? And so you want to have boundaries. You don't want to be letting people just run up to you, total stranger on the sidewalk, and start, you know, and entrain you into, a half hour where they're just telling you all the woes of their life. Unless that's something that you want to do and you consciously intend to do that, well, then that's different. And then it's different because it's a conscious intention, right? There's nothing wrong with that. If you think you've got the juice to take on, you know, that level of suffering, you know, you could try it out. I don't recommend it. So that's caveat number one. So caveat number two is to remember the most important thing about holding space is you're not doing anything. And this includes some of the sort of, maybe metaphysical folks or esoteric folks who, they'll say that they're holding them in an energy bubble of safety and love or something like that. And I mean, I hate to break it to you, but that you're not unconditionally listening. You're not holding space for them because you're doing something, right? True unconditional listening, the art of holding space is when you do nothing. You don't move a single cell in your body, right? So you're not doing anything, and that includes any sort of, you know, energy work, no matter what the intention. Now, you may have a practice. There are some people, energy workers, who have some sort of a practice where this is a regular part of their practice, and that's kind of different, just as long as you understand that you're not truly holding space for them to tell their story in an unconditional environment when you're doing that, because you're creating a condition, in essence. And then the third condition, I don't know if it's a caveat, it's not really a caveat, the third item is that, so a lot of people, you know, that don't have no conception, and again, I get this from, you know, interacting with hundreds of people on this specific post, which is, it's valuable data, you know, because, I mean, some of these posts that I do on TikTok, I mean, I get, you know, a couple hundred people interacting with me about a specific topic, and it enables me to learn, you know, and understand where people are coming from. And so, but I mean, there are also people that unconsciously react because they don't get it. They think that it's, you're just sitting there brain dead or you're zoned out, right? And it's not, you're not zoning out. When you're holding space, you're the opposite of zoned out. You are a heightened level of conscious attention and awareness. It does take a certain amount of energy. So if you're confusing this with zoning out, that has nothing to do with this. In fact, you could say that's a polar opposite, right? In zoning out is a form of unconsciousness, and that would be the polar opposite of holding space. Holding space is the highest form of conscious listening that is available while still in the human body. So then the third condition, you know, item would be that, you know, caveat would be that you do give verbal cues. You know, you do give verbal and visual cues while you're listening. You could, you know, if you're a talking person, you might nod your head. You know, I'm so in depth with my unconditional listening that sometimes people will ask if I'm there. And I always assure you, yep, right here. You know, and or if they need to pick up where they left off, I'll show them exactly where they left off. But, you know, sometimes I'll say something so that they don't become confused, because people just aren't used to that level of listening, because generally speaking, they've never had anybody do that for them before. So they're able to get it out, to finally get the entire story out of whatever it is they're working on. Right. So it's powerful. It does lead to a kind of a fourth caveat, which is that if you're holding space or facilitating the holding of space for some people will take advantage of it and sort of just, you know, not just emotionally dump, but there's another thing that people will do. And they'll sort of just neurotically go on and on and on about their story, their special story and their special circumstances for, if you let them, for the entire hour session, for hours, they'll just go on and on, and there will be zero progress. And it's sort of a form of codependency I've seen with some therapists, where they just let somebody drone on about their story, and then there's never any forward momentum or progress, right? And so in my coaching sessions, I hold people accountable, and I'll definitely cut them off if I sense that all they're doing is just, because what that is it's a form of victim consciousness. And the way that it's a form of victim consciousness is that it's allowing somebody to continue to sort of rant about their story. And generally speaking, people who do this do not want to change. They want to just be able to complain or to go on and on about their story and all the things against them and whatever it is. And they don't want to take ownership. So it's a form of victim consciousness where you sort of perpetuate your victim story. And you go on and on and on about it, right? So that's not unconditional listening, and that's definitely not holding space. And so you get somebody like that, you'll have to stop them. You'll have to cut them off. You'll probably have to cut them off because they'll just keep going and going. And you'll have to start to ask them the hard questions, if they really want to change, if they're really ready to do the work. I'm definitely more skillful than that, but I'm just saying that these are you'll have to start to hold them to the, things and really see if this is somebody who wants to actually change. So, but anyway, I think the biggest thing that people run into is probably a lot of people that just need to develop boundaries, and they mistake unconditional listening for just letting people just sort of dump all over them, or corner them and just dump out all their emotional gunk onto them. And then now it just sort of packs them full of this other person's emotional gunk. And then they feel ugh afterwards, because this person just offloaded onto you their emotional density, right? So for those people, they need to stop listening to people, and they need to start creating boundaries, and they need to put themselves first, for a year, maybe even two, before they start to try to listen again, right? So anyway, that's the highest form of listening. It's unconditional listening. And when you get to the level where you can do that for somebody, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if they transform right before your eyes. So anyway, that'll do it for this episode. If you're interested in having me do any corporate workshops, executive boards, or you're interested in one-on-one coaching, head on over to ChristopherPinkley.com, fill out the Work with Chris. We'll set up a consultation. Other than that, until next time, take good care.